Well then, let's just take a moment and recollect ourselves, which could be scattered about your day. I know for myself, I feel like that currently. And just look back over your entire day, whatever it is you've busied yourself with, and find that place in your entire day where you are constant. And really feel into that energy of you in all that you do that's distinct from everything that you do, that's a constant source of light and love and your unique essence. And imagine that your unique essence is left its imprint on everyone that you've talked to today, everyone that you've met, everything that you've done. Just feel into that. And see the degree to which everything is energy. All of your actions, all of your words, all of your thoughts. Every single thing. And that essentially that's what we are going about every day in our day-to-day activity is seeding our particular energetics and consciousness into each and every moment and interaction. And that's key to see so that you can have some conscious choice and awareness about each and every action and each and every thought and word and deed and what you're eating and how you're eating it. So that we can become conscious, enlightened beings. More of our awareness is in our every action and thought and activity in our day. And this is really the opportunity of being a superhero and a supernatural human being is to be able to bring that much consciousness and awareness into each and every opportunity. And the opportunity of being together here now on this call is so that we can come to a place of connection with all the other superheroes and other beings of light and consciousness so that we can become even more of that energy ourselves. Because we know anywhere there are more than one gathered amplifies our own individual intentions and our group intentions get magnified immensely. So let's really use the opportunity of this call and this energy and time we have together, whether you're live on the call or you're listening to it later after it's been recorded, it really doesn't matter. It's still capturing that energy and you still have the opportunity to connect from your heart and soul with all those other superheroes, but all those beings on the planet that are bringing forth a greater field and awareness of consciousness and love. And that's really the mission, is to seed even greater levels of consciousness and love in our day-to-day lives. And so let's just take a deep breath and really feel into the magnitude of the energy that we have as an individual soul, which is limitless, limitless. And then the magnitude of energy that we have as a collective body of souls here together, gathered. This unified field that is the superhero vortex, which, by the way, is everyone that ever has been and everyone that will ever be energetically is collected here. And then let's just set our intention that the energy that we generate in this call and our coming together like this will go out and serve to increase the consciousness and awareness and love of all living beings everywhere, simply by our saying so. Well, let's just imagine that occurring. Throughout time and space. And let's imagine that all the energy that we generate in this call goes out to serve the evolution of all those who are seeking evolution, and even those that aren't seeking evolution, such that by virtue of us having this call, there's a discernible shift in awareness on the planet that goes forward and backwards in time. And let us just send a great wave of gratitude to each of us here for all that we're doing in our lives and all the differences that we're making and just our commitment to be of service and to foster love and appreciation. Good. And we thank you all for being on the call, and we look forward to all the miracles and differences that will transpire by virtue of you just sharing and speaking whatever it is that's in your heart and soul to speak.
Thank you, Taylor. What a beautiful, beautiful experience.
Well,
thank
there you.
Thank you, Taylor. What a blessing.
Oh, it's Mr. Good. Mr. Good has joined us.
Humbled by your eloquence, sister. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Well, so here we are. Do we have questions, Mr. McIntosh?
Do we have any questions? We don't have anyone sending anything, but we have people on the call. So those of you who would love to say hello, we would, of course, love to hear from you. And why don't I just actually unmute somebody randomly here? I haven't seen this number before. Somebody 519 number from Ontario, it looks like, maybe. O-N. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, who's this?
It's Crystal.
Oh, hi, Crystal.
Crystal.
Yay. Wonderful.
Hello. Yeah, it's funny that Taylor was saying she's feeling a bit scattered because I was too, because I was just dealing with a whole bunch of money stuff and I just got home from work, and it was really nice to hear everything that you had to say, Taylor, because that makes me feel a lot more grounded before starting the call because I didn't really have time to do that myself, so thank you.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Michael, for making the suggestion.
Yeah, so I just noticed this week that I just had, like, some massive shifts. And I've had, like, some massive ups and some massive downs, and I just noticed that the waves are getting higher, and then they're, like, crashing, and, like, it's all good. But I've set a lot of intentions, and Jenny and I have become accountability partners, and we've been helping each other to achieve our goals and kind of texting each other and making sure that we got done what we wanted to do that day, and that's been really helpful. And we've been having some calls and things and then just contacting each other every day. And there was one day in particular this week where I went to bed at 11 o'clock and then I couldn't sleep. Like, I went to bed till 2. I slept for a few hours. And then at 2, I, like, woke up to go to the bathroom. Then I couldn't fall back asleep. I laid there till, like, 2:30. And then I was like, I'm just going to get up. So I got up and I did one of the sessions and I felt really awesome and motivated. And then I was like, okay, so I'm going to go for a ride. And I, like, biked down this awesome nature trail and went to the beach and then, like, watched the sun come up in the water and did, like, a meditation out there. and then came home and did a meditation and then went to work that day. And it was just like one of the best days I had all week. I was a little bit tired at work, but it kind of showed me like what it would be like if I woke up really early and got a whole bunch of stuff done before work and how motivated I would feel. And then that night I ended up staying up till like 11:30, even though I knew I should have stayed home and done my meditation and like went to bed early, but I went and hung out with my boyfriend instead, even though I had like a gut feeling I should have stayed home because he's leaving for a month soon. So that was my excuse. So then the next 2 days, then I felt like kind of extra anxious and a little bit depressed. So I'm noticing like the huge ups and downs and just going with the flow and setting some new intentions of getting up earlier and really doing the meditations and feeling like I want to eat better. And yeah, it's been an awesome ride this week. And it feels like it went by really quick, but at the same time, it was like a year and a week.
Well, bless you. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, thank you.
It's quite a ride, isn't it, right now, eh? It's quite the ride. It's absolutely out of control. And depending on who you are as an individual as well, there's some real precision involved right now. We're in a mass experience, but there's some real precision. And the thing about getting up early is that you as consciousness, as an individuated point of consciousness, as a soul, can escape. You can free yourself from the matrix, from the mass consciousness. We're in the ocean of life. We exist in the ocean of life. It's an eternal experience. And the ocean of life itself has a pure utterly harmonious frequency, and that's what underlies the energetic construct of everything. So there's a perfect, coherent, perfectly harmonious, utterly peaceful, totally still, eternal presence of life itself, and we can call that, you know, the ocean of life. Let's just call that the ocean of life. Now, as soon as people are up and running around and doing their stuff in the morning, they're transmitting, vibrating vibrations into that field. Or let's say into the vibratory realm that exists between us and that field. Because there's different frequencies, there's different vibratory realms, there's different gradations of energy, and it's in the absolute peace and the absolute tenderness of our heart, soul, essence that we can connect so easily. We're just at one with that underlying goodness. And so at 2 o'clock in the morning, generally speaking, things are very quiet. There isn't this, let's just call it chaos being transmitted into the field. It, you know, once people are starting to get up, it's usually like the early risers going to work or going to the gym before they go to work, or, you know, they're going to go and do something and move in. And as soon as the worldly consciousness starts kicking in, you know, listening to the news, and to, you know, getting the kids up to school and this, that, and the other, whatever it is, it's all worldly consciousness. It's all coming out of, it's all being born out of ego, and it's all being driven by ego. And so the fear base, the fear is the fundamental frequency within it all. Survival, fear of survival. And so, there's a pattern. If you can imagine everything I just said, then there's energy being emanated out into that field. And then you get up within that, and you're trying to connect to this underlying stillness. Well, it's very difficult because all the chickens have got up as well. And so they're all, you know, making their chicken noises, and you're in there with them, whether you're living on your own or whatever. If you're in any kind of urban area or any kind of city, any kind of, where there's a, a group of people, a society around you, you're going to be affected massively by that field. And even if you're not, if you're in a fairly rural area, you're still going to be affected by the collective consciousness to some degree. It's going to be less, but you're going to be affected by it. So when we get up really early, everyone else is asleep, generally speaking, pretty much. And so it's so much easier to tap in. And this is what we need to do. You had your beautiful experience of it. Sounds like a wonderful, best ever morning. And it lifted you up and you felt like you did at work, and even though you're a little bit tired, yeah. And then you ignored your impulse to do some more of that. Well, the thing is, right now, this time that we're in, we need to really prioritize this spiritual connection, because it's our mission in life. It's our service. It's our dharma. It's everything rolled up into one. And the more we're supercharging that, this is where the wonders are, and this is where it's where the salvation is. It's where we actually our grace fields are activated, so that we actually have power and we're protected and held by life. We're a genuine source of peace and illumination but benefits people, other souls. But if we don't do it, if we don't plug in, and I'm not saying you have to get up at 2, but it's, get up before everybody else does. And in order to do that, you have to go to bed early. And ideally, don't be having dinner before you go to bed. Have your main meal in the daytime. And that sets you up. If you have a late dinner thing and do the social thing or whatever at night, or entertainment, media, whatever, just normal stuff, it's pretty difficult to, get up in the morning early and feel really good about that. Amrit Vela, it's called in the old Indian language. Amrit Vela, the sweet time. And really, it's the only real time to plug in and supercharge. Let's be really, 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 really honest about it. Evening meditations before you go to work and stuff, when the fields, you can definitely get something. But once you've plugged into that, you know the difference. You really know the difference. So any time up to 2 is a good, and the earlier the better. And you can always go back to sleep. But if you're getting up for a pee at 2 o'clock in the morning, always sit for a bit. Always sit for a bit and just really plug in and get the charge. And then when you go back to sleep, you find your psyche gets cleansed. You get the most dramatic sometimes disturbing dreams. You really feel your psyche is being churned up by whatever energy you've put in there, and a lot of stuff from the subconscious has got spun out through that field. It can be a little rough if you do the power meditation before, isn't that right, Mike? And then go back.
Yeah, you've got to avoid it. I'll tell you this quick story. This morning I got up really early, funny enough. I do that anyway, but extra early, around, I think, about 3, somewhere between 2 and 3. I just woke up. I was awake way before my alarm went off. So I thought, well, this is awesome. So I sat for meditation, and it was fantastic. Like Nick's saying, the earlier the better, because it's just so clear, especially if you wake up naturally and you're just awake and wired. And my alarm went off because I hadn't had my phone, because I woke up by myself. So I went back to the bed, turn it off, and I thought, well, while I'm here, I'm just going to lie down for a minute and carry on meditating lying down, which lasted all right for a little bit, but then I fell asleep because I was lying down. And had the weirdest dream, like this morning. Just, I can't hardly remember half of them, but I just remember waking up at about 8 o'clock, and I had a headache, and I was totally spun out. And I've only feel like I've only just woken up now. Like, it's about 1 o'clock Hawaii time. But I've just noticed that when I go back to sleep, the dreams are always bizarre, if not shocking.
And it can lead to a sense of weird, not being able to think properly. So I went out for a walk this morning, and I felt like I was walking through mud, like barely seeing. I was driving around in the car thinking, this is dangerous. I could easily smash into something here. So I wasn't fully awake. My brain was all clogged. So the early morning hours, anything that has intense power, anything that has the potential to like bring you really high, also has the potential to come down again quite alarmingly. So it's natural, Crystal, for you to go up and then have some ups and downs because this is extremes, you know, we're living in extreme times. So, you know, one of the things we talk about in Superhero Training is that ultimately we have to be at peace with the extremes because they're not going to go. they don't go away. We can just smile at them a bit better than we used to be able to, but they're not going to go away. It's going to carry on being extreme, and it's going to get more extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we definitely signed up for this roller coaster ride.
And the thing about the meditations, the particular strategy that we emphasize so much in superhero training is soul consciousness. So what that does is it takes you to the absolute epicenter, the eye of the storm of your psyche. You see, there's when you go to that point within your own inner being, and you find that still point of absolute peace, because on the other side of that. On the other side of that, or let's say deeper in, through that point, is you know, this undifferentiated oneness. You can call it God or whatever you want, but it's a deeper center, which you find from your own. When you really find your center, you can find a deeper center from there, a deeper point, and that is where all the, you know, the real. Goodness in life that we're yearning for, the experience of that. That's where all that is. So when you finding your own, the inner center, the center of your own inner being, and being able to stay there, what that does is it gives you the ability to operate from, to function from that place within yourself, and you can become more of an observer to the extremes. The fluctuations of the energy dynamics, the way the energy is flowing through our world right now. Because once you come out of that and you're in body consciousness, which is I, you know, me, Nick Good, my personality, the persona, the ego, once you're in that, you are in the flipping roller coaster that's all over the place with all these, you know, people that haven't got a clue who they are. And we just, you know, just wildly reeling from one extreme to the other, and, you know, and all the way through the every, you know, bit in between. And that's the thing that's being recontextualized and reconfigured right now. That bit. So within ourselves, we can return to this, and we can hold it. You can have it in the daytime. It's not like you're in meditative. You know, communion with this, you know, all-abiding peace, and you can feel it. But what it does is, if you can maintain your focal point and exist from that point within you, you start to experience the energy construct as a kind of, as what it is. It's the most fascinating, you know, movie, really. And with a lot of caricatures in it that are, you know, dramatic, and it's you know, it's this tragicomedy thing that the Greeks, you know, when they were doing their plays, and you know, their theatre was a huge part of Greek culture and education and philosophy and everything, and they had two masks. That's all they had, and one was tragedy, and one was you know, comedy. And so this is the human drama. It oscillates, you know, between those two poles, and that's what we're in. So when we can come from this still point within us, you can see it kind of like with your second sight. I'm developing a tremendous second sight right now. Things are just so clear, and it's part part comedy and definitely tragedy, and with a bit of horror in there as well, and some immense beauty and of the human story. But it's absolutely critical that we hold this space. And Taylor, I don't know whether you've been listening to Taylor's transmissions, but you want to just talk about how important these things are, Taylor?
Yeah, critical is the perfect word. And I believe that was the word they used in the last transmission, which if you haven't listened to, I highly recommend you do.
Yeah, I have. I've been listening to it for most of my morning meditations.
Yeah, fantastic. But that goes for anyone else on the call. And, what Nick's talking about, the second sight, is really fundamental. We're at a place. I've never really heard the communities of light say we're at the point of no return. And I remember right before those words came out of my mouth, I'm like, really? Is that what they're going to say? But when it was said, what I saw, because kind of how it works is, they show me something and then they find the words in my consciousness to put to it, which are usually quite limited. But the long and the short of it was there is no going back to who we were at all. And any amount of time spent fussing around with that is time, it's not permissible, really. Because we are the ones. We're the ones that are leading the charge here. We're the pioneers. We're eking it out. There's nobody else. And it's really us that need to be critically aware of our consciousness, of our awareness of what we're up to, and really not, there isn't really this time to just kind of fuss around into downward spirals of anything. And what I've been noticing on calls I've been having with people is just the degree to which there's almost not even any wind in those sails. People want to get into drama, and they really have to work to sustain it. And you may be finding that yourself. It's like, oh, geez, this takes a lot of energy. Well, it's really, we got to let go of all that stuff and recognize that our energy is fundamental. Where our energy goes, so does consciousness, so does the outcome, and that's what we're here to really kind of hold up. And that communities of light are counting on us for that. They're counting on us, and they'll provide all limitless support if we just kind of keep that end of the deal, which is to be able to shift, like Nick's saying, into this sort of other whole reality of being an observer of your life, an observer, like it is a movie. And in that place, you have the ultimate power. You have limitless power, really, and can avail yourself to even more, because it's that is what soul consciousness is. And so, that's the game right now. And so these huge ups, these downs, they're just going to keep going. But our role, our mission is to hold the steady space of balance, because everything is so out of balance right now. And what really we are serving as is instruments of light and love and peace, as soul instruments, is to hold that resonance of balance. And that could really just be the key mantra, key sort of way of viewing everything in your life. And in you doing that, then you can be a tuning rod to everything else coming into that place of balance. Because that's the mission right now. And And it's a big one. I mean, it is big. I mean, just recently when I was at the Green Sports Alliance, they were throwing out a few facts. And one of the things they said was that right now we're in the biggest extinction on the planet that has ever occurred in the history of the planet. That includes the dinosaur age, the ice age. The biggest extinction. And who's at the source of it is us. It's humanity. And we're literally killing ourselves and the planet at a rate that is unprecedented. It's just unprecedented. It's never occurred before. And that's useful information, because if you can hold the vision for bringing balance to that or any other of the number of things where you might spin off, and want to go off into being upset. One of the things, I was sharing this with Michael, when we first recorded that transmission, we did it right on the smack dab when the solstice was shifted in there, because that's such a key, potent balance point. And, we had included this endangered owl from Lot, this woman had sent at the very last possible minute. And then we were done with the transmission. It was like, whoa, that was just completely out of control. I don't even know what that was. And I got up to go do something else, and Jeff said, oh, and all I can remember from the transmission was this one line, which is, you need to kind of give up your right to be upset. There's no time to waste being upset about anything, period. It's just something like to let go of once and for all. And I couldn't remember anything else. And I say, well, that's all I can really remember from the transmission, but I guess that's enough, really. And Jeff turned and looked at me and said, well, that's good, because I don't know what happened, but it didn't record. And I sit there and it was like, I mean, there I was. And all I wanted to do was like scream and be so upset, man, because I had timed the day perfectly. It was Father's Day. We had this amount of time to do the transmission. And then we were like going to this family dinner and just like no time. There was no time to do another transmission. I mean, it was like out of the question. I mean, and I just kind of stood there, and I remember like all I could hear was that over and over again. Like, there's just no time. There's no time to be upset. Mm-hmm. You need to just let go of that whole concept. And so I turned around. I had to walk outside and just stand there for a minute and like, really? And I kind of looked at him. I said, is that true? And he said, yeah, there's no transmission, Taylor. It was such a damn challenge, but I'm telling you, that it was so deeply reverberating in my soul that any moment spent being upset is shifting all of eternity in a direction that's not in balance. Any moment spent. And I mean, I'm talking one moment. And I thought, one moment, come on, just to yell and scream and shriek and freak out about this. Give me that. Because I it was like such an automatic reaction or mode. I could find myself easily finding, and yet there was just no way I could go there. It would I couldn't even like gear up for it. I couldn't even. I was looking deep, trying to summon up the juice, trying to just come on, just a little tiny upset, and it was gone. It didn't exist, and it was so powerful. Because I mean, come on, I had every right to be upset. I mean, in that moment. Like one could say Jesus Christ had every right to be upset when they were pounding nails in his hands, or whatever. And yet, it was gone. And, of course, and obviously we got a transmission, so we had to do a whole different transmission. There's a whole story behind that whole thing. But the point is I found it interesting that those are the only words I remembered and maybe the only words that were needed. In the end, I don't even know what the rest of the transmission is about, but that has shifted everything for me. And it has me being in this place, like Nick talked about, of ultimate peace, of ultimate resolve. It's like, I can here I stand, I can do no other. Here I stand, I can do no other. But you know what? There's no other needed. When one is standing in that place of ultimate power, of balance and connection to their soul and their limitless self. And from there, anything can happen. I mean, I have no problem seeing, you know, okay, shift, you know, world hunger, shift the extinction of the species. No problem, really. If standing here, holding that resonance, holding that tone, and then, you know, a conclusive it shall be, it's like, boom. I mean, that is everything. And that is what a superhero does. They stand in the face of, you know, every good reason to be completely upset and spiraling off in who knows what direction and shift outcomes. That's what we're here to do, shift outcomes.
Well said. I think it's really important to, just really emphasize, you know, this thing, you know, it takes a superheroic capacity to be able to do that. The energy dynamics that are at play right now are absolutely off the charts. And it's always been like this. Like, this is life. And part of the spiritual maturation process is moving out of this ego perspective, which is extremely childish. And myopic. It's not even kindergarten level of spiritual maturity. It's extremely childish, emotionally charged, and you know, it has a very selfish myopic perspective on reality. But reality has always been reality, and we've always been in this thing. But what's happening now is we're at the end of a cycle. And so everything is being reconciled and reconfigured, as it always is at the end of a cycle. And if everything's in harmony with the original nature, with this underlying ocean of absolute coherence, then everything's fine. Nothing needs to be destroyed. Nothing extreme has to happen. But it's not like that. We are so out of harmony. But the thing is, and Taylor uses the word balance, how important is to be in balance. There's also, I'd like to bring another word into it as well, sanity. How important it is in necessary to be sane in this insanity that's going on all around us. Having the sanity of knowing who you are, and that isn't the physical body. It's not the mind that goes with that body either. And it's this mystery that's been revealed in us. As we surrender our false sense of self, the ego persona, as we relinquish that in any given moment, and certainly in the early morning meditations, and as often as we can in the day, as we relinquish that perspective and hold the soul consciousness perspective, which is really one of wonder, and it's an all-embracing love. It's an all-embracing acceptance, and we don't know what love is. We don't know who we are. We're discovering all this. The mystery is being revealed in us. And so when we can hold ourselves in that balance point with faith, which in Sanskrit we call nischay, and that is the seed of knowingness within us. The seed knows what it is. We're growing into something else. This human experience is like the first, you know, sprouts of the seed, or maybe the second. But there's more coming. So we're growing into something else, and within our soul, we know what that is. We might not be able to verbalize it or vision it or articulate it, but we know it. It's in us, and so we have to find that seed of knowing. Jesus said you need faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. That's a big clue, the size of a grain of mustard seed. Soul consciousness is a tiny, 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 tiny point within you. So if we exist from that place with faith, and then we need love. And the love, the practical application of love is forgiveness, extending forgiveness out. So all of these things that trigger us, and it doesn't have to be something, you know, wildly grandiose like the extinction of, you know, everything. You know, your boyfriend can trigger you, or your girlfriend can trigger you, or your cat can. And when something triggers us, it's a call for the application of forgiveness. Ho'oponopono. I'm sorry. please forgive me for projecting whatever and you know, I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and liberate yourself. Liberate yourself from the ego construct into this coherent, balanced, sane experience of who you actually are. Liberate yourself immediately. And like Taylor was saying, when you do that, you become a tuning fork for others. And we become a unified field. And the world, the future, is being born out of the vibrations and the vision that we are experiencing now. That's what's happening. The past is the past. It's done. And the age is over. There's no time left. It's wound up. And these are just the last twitches of this old paradigm. But at the same time, something completely new is being reborn, is being birthed. And we are the holders of the vision for that. It's born through the vision and the vibratory experience that we're holding. So if we can hold, if we can apply these tools in any given moment, and they're absolutely critical. They're not things that, you know, down the priority list, after I've done this, after I've done that, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. No, it's like, no, this is like priority number one right now. This is like the time to throw off the alter ego disguise. Clark Kent's got to get his clothes off and be in that Superman mode now, all the time.
Yeah, and it really is all the time. There's no downtime. We can't, there's no allowing ourselves for that any longer. The consequences are too great.
Yeah, superheroes don't get a day off to just hang around and do nothing. I think one of the main things that we all come to realize sooner or later is that we actually can't get away with anything at all. Can't get away with anything. And so one of the, you know, the shocking, unpredicted downsides of really going deep and claiming the power and getting on the mission is that things that you used to do that, you know, gave some sense of pleasure or temporary gratification, you just can't get away with anything, you know, and it gets more and more and more and more subtle as time goes on. So it's one of the things Nick and I were laughing about a while back, was that ultimately it's a opportunity that we have to die to all our old stuff completely over and over again until it's all gone and then be reborn. But if we said to people very directly, would you like to die every day over and over and over to all the stuff that you're used to, then most people would say no, because that's a bit too shocking to realize. But ultimately, that's what we end up doing. We end up releasing, 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 letting go, letting go, letting go of everything that we're born with, brought up with, until there's something left over. And what you find at the end of it is something completely different that was totally unexpected underneath all this stuff. So the whole process is really a matter of just letting go, letting go, letting go, letting go, and letting go. Because it's only the things that are sitting on top of the gem, on top of the gold. That's the only problem we have. If there is a problem, it's just the illusion and this like wads and wads and wads of the ego. So it's fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And that constant place Taylor was talking about earlier at the beginning of the call, there is a constant place within us. But you're not going to find it in the usual self, the usual consciousness. It doesn't exist there. So most people are trying to improve their ego, to try and become superhuman through making their ego better. Mm-hmm. But what we're talking about is removing everything that is not relevant anymore. All this old stuff, all this old paradigm stuff, getting rid of it. And then what you're left with is this superhero. And this is an extremely important distinction.
Yeah. And it's not easy. It's absolutely overwhelming right now. It's extremely simple, but it's utterly overwhelming. And it's a, you know, it's an emotional process. There's a lot of feelings involved in the mix right now. And this, the astrological energies that are impacting us are really digging it up. You know, it's a very Pluto time. It's a lot of deep, dark, deep stuff. And depending on how your, you know, the astrological and cosmological, you know, design of your own unique energy template will dictate how intense you're feeling that. And it's intense now. Anyone who's really sensitive and lives from depth within themselves can't help but be aware of how intense things are. But what it does is it allows us to live from that depth. It allows us to experience who we are from this tremendous depth. I mean, just consider the fact, you know, for a moment that we are eternal beings and that we are so, our capacity for love is so vast that we can actually accommodate all of this trauma, all of this evil, all of this sadness, all of this human sorrow, all of this human suffering, all of this destruction, ecocide, all the dreadful things that happen to the animals and all of this. We can accommodate it easily within ourselves because our capacity to love is so vast. And so it's living from these depths that we're being, you know, see, it seems like it's a little brutal and happening too fast and, oh my God, what's all this? It's overwhelming. But it's only because we've been living in ignorance for millennia. You know, if we have been living consciously for the last, you know, thousands of years, our ancestors, everything would be fine. It would be nothing. But it's like suddenly we're having to wake up just before, you know, the absolute grand finale of freaking the old thing. It's like, oh, what? So it's a bit of a shock to the system, but, you know, we are designed to deal with this. We're designed to be able to handle this. You know, we can do this, but it's a vertical learning curve at, you know, astronomical intensity and speed. So we need to be able to go to this point. That's the whole thing of everything. And that soul consciousness, who you actually are, your center. Like everyone who's listening to this call right now, let's just take a few breaths. Close our eyes. Just put your hands on your heart. Smiling, the golden inner smile, and just looking up inside of yourself. Don't lift your chin up, but just look up inside of yourself. Just raise your gaze into the center of your brain. And breathe from your heart with a lot of love. And just find that center within yourself. Just find it. You can't point to it. It's not a physical center. It's beyond the physical realm. But it's the center of your psyche. It's the absolute epicenter of your being. Now, to be perfectly honest, that center is not a place. It's a space. It's more of an attitude of faith, a burning faith, the size of a grain of mustard seed, and it looks like a tiny little point of light if you can see it. Feel for that tiny seed of knowing, absolutely superhero certainty beyond all doubt who you actually are. You've got to find that place within you. It already exists. You don't have to develop faith or certainty or the knowing who you are. You don't have to develop that. What you have to do is uncover it, find it within you. Stop moving around. Who's ever moving around right now? Just do that. You got to stand in this place, in this space of certainty within you. And this is the epicenter of your being. This is the balance place where unimaginable forces, energies, vibrations, frequencies, the karma of lifetimes, the collective unconscious, your ancestral soul matrix, all of the energy content in there, emotional content of unimaginable portion, it all balances perfectly in this tiny little point. That's the epicenter of it all. And the key to it is certainty. That's how you feel. The vibration of it is absolute certainty, unwavering, absolutely constant, 100% present, epicenter of certainty. It's a tiny little seed. It's called Nizche. And it's who you are. It's your vibrational signature more than anything. It's your backbone. So if you haven't got that, you're going to be all over the place. You can try and love as much as you want, forgive as much as you want, be positive, think positive, whatever. If you haven't got this, you haven't got the keys to the kingdom. You're outside, and so you're going to be running around in the Muppet Show with everybody else.
Yeah, one of the most powerful ways.
I can feel the field all stabilizing right now. Sorry, Mike. I can feel the field all stabilizing right now.
Yeah, one of the most effective, powerful ways to, you know, help you get there, like what Nick was just saying, is to make it all small. Because as long as we think about this world, this really big, huge, monstrous thing that's kind of out to get us, which is how it can seem sometimes. Even the body can seem like a monstrous thing. If you feel sick or something, the body can feel like it's kind of out to attack you, as well as the whole world and people, scary things. So in our consciousness, we can perceive this whole thing small. Allow it to get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Just in your mind, just imagine like Nick was doing one of these meditations a while back. And, you know, I've practiced this, and we do this in Subiru training. Just see it getting smaller and smaller and smaller, just like you do when you go up in a plane, you're flying away somewhere. And the whole world seems to seem small and silly, really, when you actually leave and you take off and you look down and everything's much smaller, tiny little cars and tiny little roads, and you're up in the clouds flying around. It's just like, what was I worried about? So we can have that perspective now if we want to. It's just a consciousness change, and that's what's called the flying stage, the flying stage. And I often look at these beautiful birds. In Hawaii, there's all these lovely big birds that fly around, and I see them every day. And just watching them glide through the air on the breeze and on the currents, where they just float, and they go for like miles without even using their wings sometimes. So we can have the flying stage where we're up above everything, looking down, seeing it all as small and silly, little Muppet Show. Then it's actually quite easy to get to that point that we were talking about. So if you prioritize the flying stage and prioritize making everything small and prioritize, you know, your peace and your bliss as number one, then it's easy. But if the Muppet Show is your big priority and that's all you're worried about all the time, then it's basically going to be impossible to have that sense of stability and peace. And I was wandering around through the jungle, wandering about, and I realized that for quite some time I've been prioritizing all these endless projects and all these things I'm working on. And it got a bit heavy. I started feeling this strange heaviness for no particular reason. And what I realized was that, very simply, my priorities had been flipped. They were the wrong way around. And I hadn't realized this has happened because it happens unconsciously. So I made a decision to myself that my number one priority in life is to experience bliss. To experience bliss. Because I love feeling blissful. I love feeling free. I love the flying stage. And I don't like suffering and being stuck in this nonsense. So I had to snap out of it, and say, no, this is up to me where my priorities are. It's up to you what your priorities are. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter how much you've got to do. You still
prioritize where you put your energy. And just on that one little shift, that shift in consciousness, that my most important thing is to experience peace and bliss and the flying stage, instantly I started feeling physically different, emotionally different, mentally different, and everything has just been a lot more fun and enjoyable since that moment. You know, sometimes I forget, you know, emails, things to do, blah, 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 but you can snap out of it in a second. So you might want to look at this. What is your priority in life? What is it actually at the top of the list? What have you got at the top of your list? Is it your relationships? Is it your money? Is it your health? Is it your work? What is it? Because not many people have prioritized bliss at the top. You know, I have to remind myself to do this over and over again. It doesn't just come naturally. So think about this. What are your priorities? And what would you like your priorities to be? Because whatever they are, that's where you're going to invest your time and energy. And we can see very, very clearly what our priorities are simply by looking at our day. Whatever we do in an average day or an average week, if we just look at our time, where we spend our time, where we spend our money, where we spend our energy, that shows us very clearly what's important to us. So we might say, oh, my priority is spirituality and meditation, higher consciousness, being superhero. But if we look at our week, we might get a different perspective. So it doesn't matter what we did last week. It doesn't matter what we did today. It doesn't matter what you did at the beginning of the call. It doesn't make any difference whatever's happened up till now. But right now, we can forgive ourselves and we can forgive everyone else. And we can choose that this is it right here. And this is whatever is important to you, that's it. You can start right now, today, and this is the beginning of a completely different life with that new consciousness of what is important for you and just giving that energy over and over again to that one number one thing over and over and over and over again. And it's literally a different world you're living in. So I recommend everyone just think about that just for a moment. What is actually, what would you like your top priority to be? What would bring you the greatest joy in your life? If you focused on that one thing as your number one from now on. What's your number one priority, Crystal?
Happiness, so that I can hold the space for the world.
Yeah, wonderful.
That's beautiful. It makes me smile just to hear you say that.
That's so beautiful. And just saying that, those words, holding space for the world, okay? This thing that Mike's talking about, making the world small, making problems small, it's absolutely critical we do this and engage something I call the unlimited imagination. I was doing some research last week or the week before. I'm always fascinated by the impact of evil in the world and just how dedicated the forces of darkness are and anyone and everything that's involved in, you know, bringing misery into the world on purpose. How they have so much power. Why on earth can they do so much negative things and have so much power over people? And one of the things that really landed with me in the research I was doing last week is that some of these forces and entities think holographically. They use their mind in a holographic way. And it really, really landed with me. So I started bringing this into my meditation practice and into my mindset. And I really thought for a moment, what is that? And then it just absolutely clicked in what it is. Now listen to this. You need to have, when you go to the point, okay, when you go to the point, it brings you peace and it stabilizes you, all right? But we need more than that. You said it there, happiness and holding space for the world, all right? Now, happiness only really kicks in for a superhero when we're in service, when we're helping other people, or we help, or we're giving our love into, you know, nurturing the earth or animals or doing something for someone other than ourselves, our own ego. That's when genuine, real, deep, abiding happiness kicks in. Peace, it's relatively easy to find. You can get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, or you can go and lay down by the river or go for a walk by the beach and just go to the point and basically, you know, merge with God. That's so peaceful. But happiness, walking around, you know, in the world, genuine, genuine happiness is through service. Okay, so if we want to bring, be a hold space for the world, we need to use our imagination in an unlimited way. Because there's so much misery and sorrow, we need to be so much bigger than that. So what does that mean? Well, that means that when you go to the point, you go to the epicenter, it's like the reset button. You are now refocusing the lens of your soul, which is holographic. That means it has all of these little facets and prisms in it. It's like a prism or a crystal with an infinite number of facets in it. When you go to the point, you can refocus that. When you think with an unlimited imagination, let's, for example, this is what I've been doing in my Angel Qigong practice. I'll just tell you exactly what I've been doing. In the Angel Qigong practice, I've been standing on the tip of the top of the mountain, and I've been opening my awareness to encompass the whole cosmos. I've gone to the point within myself, and I've emerged as the form of an angel, as big as the cosmos. So now I am an angel as big as the cosmos. And then from there, I engage the holographic imagination. And so I imagine an infinite number of facets of cells within the body of that angel that are that angel itself. So the hologram, a hologram is within the holograph. It's a holographic reality contains an infinite number of miniature versions of itself. So all the bits within it are miniature versions of the whole. And there is an infinite number of those. That's what a holographic reality is. That's what a holographic universe is. There is an infinite number of smaller versions of itself within itself. So when you engage your holographic imagination, instead of thinking in the ego's way, which is linear and just, you know, one-dimensional, what we have to fill in is an infinite number of dimensions within ourselves. And you will feel the difference of how solid that feels. So let's just do a little exercise on this right now and just close your eyes and put your hands on your heart again. And just go to the point, the epicenter of certainty within you, the knowingness within you. Go to that seed point with a tremendous faith, love, and gratitude. And with that gratitude and that love, just pull a deeper, deeper point within you. Pull a deeper point within you into that center so that you're deeply, 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 deeply anchored in your true sense of self, right in the epicenter of your being. And really mean it. This is warrior energy activated here. This is burning, burning, burning fire of certainty. This is Nizche, knowing who you are. So you go to that point. Now just imagine that you're an angelic form as big as the cosmos. You encompass the whole in yourself. And then from there, just imagine an infinite number of smaller angels within that as tiny little facets, aspects of the hologram, the whole thing. And within those infinite number of facets of that same angel, see the point of light shining. Now that angel is a being of absolute benevolence. So from that position there, it is possible for you to bless every particle of creation, all beings of creation, and through your own love, through divine love, bring the presence of love into every aspects of creation all at the same time. You can do the bodhisattva and breathe all the suffering within that creation into yourself and radiate out compassion from there. Because you're bigger than it all and you are solidified holographically. You're actually using your mind in the way that it is actually designed. This is a really important piece and the benefit of doing these live calls with us, because you get to hear what we're up to, you know, on the leading edge of our own exploration.
Play with that.
Yeah, I just really would like to underscore that last piece about when you have an intention or a priority for your own life, what locks it in and manifests it solidly into the earth plane is when you seal it with an intention for the benefit of all living beings. It's like it seals it, because it adds, like Nick was saying, the being of service, because that's the ultimate path, that's the ultimate gold. And so that's just a really important point there in all of your intentions and all of your desires, to add that is the icing on the cake, really but the atmosphere by which all of it can occur or does occur.
Maybe it is the cake.
That's right, it is the cake.
Yeah, and you know, happiness comes from helping others, being of service, you know. Happiness doesn't necessarily really all come from having stuff or pleasure, personal, you know, stuff. But genuinely serving others just makes us feel great. More than anything, that's what I find. When I feel happiest is because I've been of service the most in a genuine way. So that's beautiful, Crystal. Thank you. What a blessing.
Thank you guys for all your wisdom. I feel like I had some massive shifts through all of that, and it really resonates a lot with me that there is no time to feel upset anymore, because it's easy to drop into that place of feeling guilty for all that we've done and feeling sorry for it and everything. And like you said, there is no time for that, and it's not necessary anymore because we've moved past it and we're moving forward, and that is what's most important, is that we're here to do what needs to be done, and we're doing it.
Indeed we are. Well, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you for jumping in and being the space for which this whole conversation could occur.
Absolutely. Well said, sister. Ha ho.
Well, Crystal, is there anything else you'd like to say before we unmute someone else?
No, I feel like totally calm and... Yeah, thanks for all that. I realized a lot through that, so thank you very much.
Well, hang on, hang on to the line. Stay on the call, Crystal, and we'll get you to, you can say a little blessing at the end of the call there for everyone and everything.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Yep. That'll be beautiful. Yay. So we have Diana on the call. I'm just going to unmute you, Diana, and you can say hello. 843 number.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm actually Crystal's accountability partner.
There we go. Well, welcome, welcome.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Oh, well, I'd say you're getting your job done there.
Yeah, we're really you know, it's been great. It's been great to work with somebody else and to have. I always find, like you say, all happiness really comes from serving others, and I find that anything that I'm trying to achieve, if there's another person that's counting on me, or if I can help somebody else, you know, achieve, let's like say waking up early or, you know, doing whatever, it adds so much more fire, you know, behind my own motivation, and it makes everything, you know, the effort become ease, just because you're doing it for, you know, somebody that you care about, or someone you don't even, you know, really even know. It doesn't matter, really, but it's very powerful. Very powerful. And so, yeah, it's been a really intense week for me as well. Major, huge changes in my life. I feel like I opened the doors, and it's all coming down, and it's actually coming up. So, it's been a wild ride. And like Taylor said at the beginning of the call, there's been a lot of, I feel, scatteredness going on, but at the same time, an acceptance of, you know, this is our, you know, this is the world we live in, with highs and lows, and finding that equanimity, that place where you can experience these things with just a little bit of space between you and what's happening. And always keeping love as the place where you're acting and speaking from, that you're safe and everything is wonderful no matter what's happening. And so yeah, it's been really wonderful being a part of this. And
well said, beautiful words.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, is there any way we can be of service to you here?
I mean, everything that you say is, like, so inspiring and gets me aligned with, you know, what's real, what's really important, the priorities. And so, you know, right at this moment, I don't know if I have anything in, like, specifically, except just, you know, continuing to do the work. And, you know, I do find with the past 2 weeks focusing on releasing and letting go of old emotional, you know, patterns that we're holding inside, it has been a little difficult for me to pinpoint exactly what is, you know, what it is, but I know that the clarity will come if I just keep practicing and keep relaxing and letting it come up. And so, yeah, you know, I'm just very grateful to be here, very grateful for all of you. Definitely, you know, my main goal, even if it's not super clear, is to be a powerful voice in the world to benefit all beings everywhere in all the realms. And be that beacon of light for, you know, anybody else to, you know, link up with if they so desire. Like in this past week, it was incredible. My husband was in the army, and so, you know, he had to go to Iraq, and he's been, you know, really struggling with a dependency on alcohol. And, you know, about, you know, a while ago, I tried to fight it and would, you know, try to change him and make him see, you know, there's a better way. And I realized you just have to let it go and be as good of an example yourself as you can be. And so for the past 3 years, that's what I've been doing, trying my best to. Of course, it's a practice. But, you know, just this last week, I feel there's been a massive shift because my husband, you know, finally decided, you know, I'm going to be real with you, tell you where I'm at, and you know, ask for help. And so next month I'm going to be, you know, supporting him through going somewhere else for 6 weeks to a great center, you know, to really get himself back, you know, get the freedom that he deserves back. But he made the decision himself, and I feel like this whole shift, the power that we're all feeling from being a part of this training, has, you know, and a lot of it got stemmed from me asking him a few of the questions that you had in the recording of getting clear on your vision. You know, like what are the three things that make you most happy, and, you know, what do you see yourself achieving in your life? And, you know, just a few days after that, you know, he really got honest with me. And for the first time in 5 years, this huge, like, iron wall just dropped between us. And now there's this honesty and there's this open communication, and it's heart to heart, and it's just beautiful. I'm so grateful for it, because he's such a wonderful human being. And you know, for a long time I've known that this kind of demon has been, you know, just terrorizing him and taking away all his joy and love and life. And so it's interesting, I find, that, you know, I start this training and have so much more energy, you know, within my own vibration and what I'm doing in my life, and then, you know, these kind of things happen. And so it's been really great. And of course there's a long road ahead, but, you know, he came to this conclusion himself, so that's what's most powerful. And for about a week now, he's been, you know, really excited about it, and so have I. And it's just been so wonderful to not have to feel like I'm part of, you know, it really felt very fake for a long time, because there was always this big secret. And so, and now it's out in the open, and love can bloom again between us. And so, yeah, it was just something I wanted to share, I guess. But it's incredible the effect and the influence that we can have on other people, not by doing anything or telling them to do anything, just by being ourselves, doing the best we can to live in love, and how that truly changes people in huge ways, without, you know, my own, without any intervention from my own intellectual side, you know, just from being around me, and from, you know, that's it. You know, that's really what made this huge shift. And so, yeah, it's wonderful. May we all continue to be wonderful examples and get more and more powerful. With love behind us, there's really, like you said, there's nothing to fear. I love that you said, you know, there's just no time to waste in being upset. You know, that's just, it's not going to serve anyone or anything. And so that's been a huge help as well, dealing with all this. It's like, because right now he's not, you know, totally sober, because he's, you know, dependent on alcohol. And so it's just really great to be able to interact with him with total love and no judgment, and just like letting him figure it out for himself, and continuing to shine the light, you know, from me and from my heart, and you know, watching someone else blossom and bloom and get back that joy that comes from being alive. It's beautiful. So that's about it.
Thank you so much for sharing. God, that's so inspiring. You're
so
beautiful. That touched me so deeply, that story. What a beautiful, beautiful sharing. And a couple of little things I just wanted to gift you. One is, when you said, you know, the emotional process that you're going through, and you're, you know, you're not quite sure, you know, exactly why and what it is, and, you know, the clarity will come. Well, what I want to just encourage you is that this thing about being, you know, large, much larger than the world, larger than our little problems, we're like channels, conduits, pressure release valves for the collective emotion in all kinds of layers, in the human collective unconscious, in our own ancestral soul matrix, the residual pain that's in the ancestral soul matrix that our souls feel, the pain of women particularly, the pain of the Mother Earth, Mother Nature, and woman's pain. And so as you know, you're a real wisdom keeper. You know, it's obvious, I can feel that, you know, you're a real woman. And the pain that you're grieving, that you're emoting, don't make it all your ego's story. That, you know, it has to know, you know, all the rest of it and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, maybe you're going to, you know, have a past life reading or something and, you know, find out you were murdered last life or something like that. Forget about all that stuff. Just be a feeling conduit and just allow it to wash through you. But be, you know, expand your use your imagination. Go to the point. Use your imagination. Be that, you know, whatever vision you want to hold. You can be a glowing feminine, divine feminine entity, as you know, just as big as the cosmos, or as big as you want. You know, you're an aspect of the divine feminine itself. You know, and allow it to wash through you and create that space there. And you can take a lot of emotion, because you're so large, you can accommodate it, and you can use you can find the beauty in it all, because you're really on that beauty frequency, the compassion, the love that I can feel in you, and it's just going to make you more able to love, and more of a powerhouse, and more able to hold space for your man and whoever else is going to be coming to you. And then the second thing I wanted to say about, you wanted to have this voice, this voice, you know, a voice of good, voice of love, whatever it was, the how you verbalized it, but it's definitely your voice. Now, what I want to encourage you is to use your voice to emote, to sing your soul song, to tone your soul song. This is a real indigenous earth mother practice where the women would just grieve. And they would just release this collective sorrow and in a ritualistic, ceremonial way, understanding that this is a necessary thing to do, because the sorrow just builds up in the society, in the culture, in the ancestral soul matrix, in the soul, and in humanity. And we need to channel this stuff. And the voice is the perfect place to do it. It's the perfect tool to do it. So, you know, you can be on your own, you can be in the shower, you can be, you know, just on your own somewhere or in nature or wherever. You can do it anyway. Just sitting in your kitchen, you can do it. And just allow yourself to make sound, to find grief tones and sounds that allow you to emote and give voice to your pain. Yeah. And what that does is it's very transmutational. But it transmutes the non-specific suffering. Yeah, I mean, you might know some of it. Obviously, there's grief in there from you, this whole thing with your husband. That's a very sensitive and intimate, and you know, it's going to get right in there. But there's a lot of other stuff that you don't know what you're actually channeling and grieving. His unconscious pain, his ancestral stuff, your own, your ancestral stuff, et cetera, like I said before. So give it some voice and just let it move through you, and you'll find that it will just make you more powerful. You'll feel it. You'll feel it. Your voice will become deeper with more, you know, rich tones and resonance. And so when you use it, and I love what you said, you know, just being, you know, this voice of love. There's a great quote from the Buddhists, and this is one of my life. And, you know, fundamental life teachings is that truth without compassion is brutality and worse than a lie. Truth without compassion, and obviously that's the highest octave of love, is brutality and worse than a lie. So when we speak the truth without compassion, we're brutalizing people. And yeah. So this, you were discovering this with your husband, you know, if you're nagging him or whatever, I'm not saying that you were, or, you know, like fighting with him, arguing with him, calling bullshit on his alcoholism and all this, that, and the other. And it might all be true. But without the compassion, it's brutality and worse than a lie. And we can feel it and we can hear it We can feel it in the vibrations of our voice and the way it's resonating in us as heart, soul, being. So coming from that place of love, giving voice to your grief and making it a big, big story, not a little one, not a little private story about me, but a very big story about humanity, and just really wash it through there, Mama, because you're a powerhouse, sister, and I have huge respect for you.
Oh, that's so beautiful, Nick. Thank you.
I just want to acknowledge you for being a superhero wife. I mean, what you described there was the earmarks of a superhero wife, I mean, hands down. I mean, in addition to a woman, you're also a superhero wife. And, you know, I encourage you, because it's clear that you're very empowered in holding the space for transformation to occur for another. And that's such a gift, a huge gift, because there's very few people that are, especially when another's actions, you know, negatively affect them, or they're counter to how they'd like them to be. You know, to be able to, in the face of that, hold the space for transformation to occur in their right timing and their own path is so huge. It takes a huge human being to do that. But also, I want to add to your intention for him to, like Nick said, to get way, way, way bigger and include all of humanity whom are suffering with addictions.
Yes.
In the same breath. Because, one, you have the power and voice to be able to really cause a ripple effect in that, forward and backward in time. And that's what I encourage you to craft, an intentional place to stand that has that volume of beingness to it. Because why not? I mean, you know, it's all energy. Why not? I mean, why not?
That's so great.
And then the other thing, you know, I just want to say kind of what Nick was talking about, you know, sometimes you just got to go emote. The other thing I've found that's essential, and I've been sharing this with a lot of women lately, is what women really need. And they need this at a fundamental level. I mean, probably it's so primary, it's just dead primary, is to be squished and squeezed on a regular basis. And what this looks like, and because we need it way more than we actually think, so what I've just done is I start paying attention to it. It's like, you know how it is. You're going through the day, and it's like, whoa, you know, everything is completely out of control. I'm going to explode and just burst out into a million different pieces and shatter all over the place. It's usually around that time. And what I've discovered is at that moment, when I look around, I was like, all right, how am I going to deal with this? What I've come to discover is I go up to Jeff, and I say, Jeff, I need some attention right now, and I need you to, you know, to squeeze me. And now sometimes he'll hesitate. He'll like say, okay, in a minute, I'm going to finish an email. But he's now come to learn that he better not. He better not wait but a second. He better jump out of that chair real damn fast. And that's what he does now. Like, I'll walk in and I'll say, Jeff. And he when he hears that kind of tonality, like, Jeff, he's already like, uh-oh, you know, I'm going to have to get up, you know. And then I have it just like this. I need some attention right now. And then, you know, and I need you to squeeze me. And sure enough, you know, he bounds up, comes over, and all I do is stand there. I just stand there almost kind of like a limp rag, so to speak. Not droopy or anything. I mean, sometimes I might droop, but that's not the point. The point is, you just stand there, and he just you know, kind of wraps his arms around me and squeezes me as tight. And by the way, it has to be as tight as can be. Nothing else will do. It can't be some limp-ass hug. I mean, it has to be like squeezing the life out to where, like, sometimes I can't even hardly breathe. That's the best. That's the best possible situation. And, you know, and he's gotten sense enough now to know, like, when enough is enough. I mean, sometimes I have to say, okay. But usually he can just kind of tell, because what he's experiencing is all that, whatever that was, which is essentially, you know, probably holding all of the universe, or who the heck knows, who cares, has subsided to a place where functionality is possible once again. Now, this is key. And nobody knows about this, by the way, but I've been spreading the word. And so here you go. And what occurs, and it's a mutual thing, by the way. It's not just like, okay, I can function. It also, it helps him immensely. It helps him immensely as well. I haven't figured out those dynamics. I haven't even interviewed Anaska, but I know it does, because I've noticed he seems to be, you know, I shifted up in an, you know, octave or two, or I don't know. But all I know is this is fundamental.
Yeah.
Not only will, but it'll be so supportive to his mission in wishing to shift what he wants to shift, but it'll be critical to you being able to continue to hold these huge volumes of intentionality and light around these, you know, sorts of situations, or any sorts of situations, doesn't matter. Particularly useful if you've got, you know, a lot of dynamics going on. So I just want to share that with you. That's top secret, high-level information, by the way, the likes of which you would only ever get on a live superhero call. Awesome.
I want to say something about
so
this.
Great.
I want to say something about this heart space as well, this heart pain. So what Taylor was saying there about, you know, when we're just like, we're obliterating, you know, we're like shattered, yeah? Now, your heart, the heart pain that we experience, right, it's not for putting back together. We're not supposed to be fixing, you know, like get up from another exhausting, completely freaking over-the-top day and mend ourselves. What we're doing is, the reason why we're being broken open is so that this real love, this unlimited love, can flow through us.
Yeah.
And the shattering of forms is part of that process. So don't try and pull yourself, you know, like your heart back together. Oh, keep that thing wide open. But just let more and more and more and more love come blasting through it, and trust,
you know,
the fact that every ounce of pain that we've ever experienced has been for a very good reason. Life knows what it's doing.
Yeah,
and
this
these
is
little
so
things
critical.
Like,
I mean, this, it's so like, critical what Nick is saying. And that's why, like in the transmission, they said that we're past the point of no return. What that means is there's never any going back, not even like Nick's saying to yesterday, not even to a minute ago. It's all going forward from here. We're making it up. And so therapists are kind of in trouble. You know, that their whole occupation is bankrupt. Just sitting around talking about, like, how did you get this, where did it come from, and let's process it, is just over. It serves absolutely no use at all whatsoever.
It almost makes it worse.
No, it does make it worse. Some of the craziest people, the craziest, most difficult clients I've ever had are always therapists. I mean, without a question. They're out of their minds, literally.
Of course.
It's so challenging. I mean, after like a few minutes on the call, I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. What is going on here? And then finally I say, are you a therapist? And always the answer is yes.
Wow.
It's like, okay, all right, well.
That's incredible.
Get some therapy.
Not surprising.
Yeah, and so that part, like that, I mean, that's really, really important for everyone to get on this call. So it's really, thank you for saying that in the way you did so that we could catch it. And be a support for that, because all that whole matrix, that whole, all that stuff that's attached to that, which, by the way, is so much New Age hobbledy-goopity crap, you know, it's shocking, is of absolutely no use in the new paradigms of love and compassion that we're transiting and creating it with each and every moment. It's just no use. It's just nothing at all.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. So, you know, you'd have to stay wide open. Like, you can't try to, it's like when you're in the river, there's that analogy, you know, time is flowing, well, you know, as we're experiencing it, and you can either hold on to the banks and, you know, really try to fight the current, or just let go and open up and, you know, just, if there's a rock up ahead, then there's a rock. If there's not, there's not. But let it flow through you. Be a conduit for all of the pain, because what I'm realizing is that it is not personal. It's not all mine. It's the collective that needs to be healed. And so I do believe that I will hone the skill of transmuting, you know, the darkness into light. And it's very exciting.
Yeah.
Very exciting. So thank you so much for all of your advice and all of these beautiful exercises, and just not even they're much bigger than that. It's like just the new paradigm, the new way of being. It's so expansive and has
well,
nothing.
Well, let's just all collectively hold a moment. Just stop for a moment and hold an intention that your husband, what's his name?
His name's Pierre.
Well, okay, with a name like that, I mean, he's going to transform this whole situation no time flat. Let's just hold the, what were you going to say?
I was just saying, I know, he'll become a superhero as well, I'm sure of this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's not wait around for that. I mean, you know, if you invited him, I mean, get him in now. I mean, he could fly through this whole addiction thing in a few days versus 6 weeks. But anyways, right. Let's collectively hold the intention that Pierre, you know, can easily, effortlessly, and with great joy and awareness shift this addiction once and for all and be free of it. And let's just see that occurring. And in doing so, be such a huge contribution and gift for others that have that, you know, have that same path.
Yes. Yeah, I'm seeing it right now. I envision it. And the light that's already there. It's being uncovered.
Yeah, and celebrating, you know, having a little, celebrating, drinking some kombucha or something, I don't know.
Well, thank you for setting out that intention. That means a lot to me. And I know that it's a huge, huge benefit for him and everybody else that's you know, feeling trapped in that kind of situation.
Yeah,
yeah.
Dude. I just had one last thought for you to help Pierre and your life is to do a clearing in your house. to shift things around physically, because what we see and where we sit and what we eat and where we eat and the things we have and what we touch and all these different colors and everything, they all trigger us. Everything in our environment affects us, everything constantly. And whether we're aware of it or not, we're being triggered all day long by everything. And especially things that we own, things that we regularly come into contact with, they trigger us. They remind us of yesterday over and over and over again. So if he is open to it, it's very worth taking the time to go through your entire house, or maybe just take one area if he's not for it, and just either remove things, asking the simple question. This is my favorite question now. Does this thing, pick something up and just ask yourself, does this thing spark joy? Does it spark joy, you know? Does it spark joy? If it does, then keep it, because it's going to bring up your energy. If it doesn't, then you might want to move that on elsewhere. And if you just do that, and then you move things around as well, like rearrange things, those two things can hugely impact his ability to change his habits. Because when he comes in, or when he does whatever he does, he now will do it slightly differently than he used to, and it won't automatically snap back into these old things. So he might, you know, this sort of stuff will happen anyway when he gives up, but it might speed things along and make it even easier in the in this transition to do that. So I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, and he'll definitely be open for that. He's a very he's not very rigid in terms of, you know, what he wants and not in terms of material things. And it's interesting, we're actually we've been looking for, you know, our first home, you know, or a new place to live, and so, you know, that would be even better.
You know, yeah.
Brand new environment, brand new energy, and no, but
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, right.
If you start clearing stuff out, then you are opening up space to move faster and easier, because you've already done a lot of the work.
Yeah.
So that'll speed things up in your moving as well.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, everything is connected. It's holistic. So what's going on inside affects us outside. What's going on outside affects us inside. And really, it's all inside. So each little thing has a powerful impact. So we're excited to hear how this all goes. And thank you so much for sharing. It was really touching hearing your stories and your experiences. You're really coming from a really deep, beautiful, genuine place. So I just want to appreciate you for that.
Well, thank you all so much for listening, for being there and caring. I feel very supported.
Yeah, it's an honor, but keep us posted.
Oh, yeah, it's most definitely. Most definitely.
Beautiful. So, Crystal, do you like to do a final blessing for us? Unless, Taylor, you have anything else to share?
No, I think a blessing is in order.
Yeah.
Am I unmuted?
You are, yeah.
Okay. So first of all, I just want to say I'm so grateful for all of you and that we're all here holding this space together and that we're never really alone. And even if it feels like we are, we aren't. And I'm so grateful to have you, Jenny, as an accountability partner. I'm so excited to see us transform and to see your husband go through his transformation and to be able to be here and support each other and to also hold space for everyone else in the world that is having similar experiences to us and to help them transform faster. I really resonated a lot with what Taylor said, or the Communities of Light said in that latest transmission about us being individual suns and shining as brightly as possible. And I think that that's really super important. And getting into that space of our NizJ and our mustard seed little sun inside of us and shining as brightly as possible. And the more that we can come from that space, the better. So let us all make it our number one priority to come from that space of being a sun, an individual sun that shines brighter than the brightest star in the universe, and just lighting up the entire planet so that we just become so bright that we light up the entire universe and shine from a place of compassion and love and understanding and patience and just knowing that it's already done and that the earth and the universe is already transformed and that we are already living in heaven on earth from inside of ourselves. And if we can just hold that space, then everything will just come easily and with grace. And there is still work to do, but if we can just come from that place, then it will be easy.
And so it is. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you guys for making this all possible and holding the space for us to become what we already knew we were but didn't have the confidence to know yet.
Well, thank you for being here doing the work, doing the magic, and being the real deal. Sending you lots of love and blessings. Have a beautiful, beautiful next couple of weeks. And keep shining, keep shining, keep shining. Aloha.